Blog Talk Radio.
I did it for you. I did it for you. I did it for you. That's why I did it, y'all.
From Los Angeles, I'm Frank Thomas on the Creating Calm Network on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Hour of Truth with Coach FT. I'm your host. I'm a man of God who's disguised as a coach, consultant, speaker, and author of the forthcoming book, Rise, Even Death Can't Stop Me. This is my debut book about overcoming a childhood marred by parental addictions, abandonment, adversity, and bad choices, and how I turned everything that could have been a reason to quit into a reason to succeed. Thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening live, replay, or podcast, I'm honored that you would take part of your day to allow me the opportunity to speak into your life. That's a privilege as far as I'm concerned, and one I take very seriously. Hour of Truth with Coach FT is about sharing the truths of life through my experiences, the experiences of my guests, and the experiences of you, the listeners. I can't think of any better way to invite people into a conversation than through the telling of stories. Stories that change people. Stories that transform lives. I invite you to engage in the community of listeners with your insights or epiphanies by calling in with your questions or comments. Our lines are open, and the call-in number is area code 619-393-2918. One of the greatest benefits of doing this show is the ability to bring in guests who are simply amazing people with absolutely amazing stories. My guest today is Veronica Mackey. Veronica is a veteran journalist who has written numerous articles, launched national campaigns, and given talks on health, spiritual development, entrepreneurship, personal finance, and networking during her three-plus decade career. Veronica is the author of three books, How to Be Gainfully Unemployed, How to Afford Yourself, and her latest work, titled 30 Days in September, How to Master Life's Tests, which we'll be talking about today. Our show is titled, Are You Passing Life's Tests? We'll be discussing how life is a series of tests and how your ability to recognize when and how you're being tested is the key to winning in life. Veronica, welcome to the Hour of Truth with Coach FT. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. I'm excited.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I appreciate you for being here today. You know, it's a great opportunity to be able to share with people like yourself who have had the courage to share their wisdom through the paper or through the words of a book. And there are so many people who have a desire to share their wisdom, but for whatever reason, life just kind of happens. And, you know, people come and they go and never really getting an opportunity to share that wisdom on a grand scale. So I applaud you for, first of all, for doing that, but for also being here. Tell us a little bit about your book, 30 Days in September, How to Master Life's Test.
Well, the book is, as you mentioned, it's the main thing is that it's a series of tests. Life is a series of tests, and you really need to be aware of the focus so that you can once you're aware that it's a series of tests, and you'll be in a better position to overcome and to pass the test so you could go on. So each chapter just trains the readers to recognize when and how they're being tested and how to come out a winner. It's about paying attention to God's often missed clues and looking for opportunities, which sometimes come disguised as problems. Sometimes we think it's a problem. It's really an opportunity in disguise. So it's about focusing on the little things that can really trip us up. And it's written in 30 chapters. Each chapter is for one day, 30 days in September. And each chapter has a lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm. So what's the importance of September?
Historically, September has brought some pretty painful lessons. World War II began and ended in September. It's the month of the Holocaust, the U.S. terrorist attacks, Hurricane Katrina. And also in Jewish culture, it is the one of the holiest holidays. It's Rosh Hashanah, which is the 10th day of the month. It's the the Jewish New Year and also Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So it's a very spiritual month. September is also the month that Bible scholars, some Bible scholars have said that Jesus was born. Some say that he was actually conceived in December and born in September. I don't really get into that in the book. The main thing I want to know is, when is Jesus born in you? That's really the critical point. So historically, it just has a lot of lessons to teach people. Number nine is the month of September, the ninth month of the calendar, and it's traditionally the month of fulfillment, the month of manifestation. Takes 9 months to have a child, and you could correlate that to 9 months of to give spiritual birth or spiritual rebirth. So anyway, as you can see, I pretty much have studied that month. It's my favorite month, and it's basically a metaphor for a time of learning. September is the month that we traditionally go back to school, so September becomes a metaphor for learning in general. So 30 days of September is 30 days to learn, you know, being spiritually renewed, learning so that you can pass these tests.
Wow. I thought you were going to say September is significant because it's the month of my wife's birthday. And she'll appreciate that.
That too, yes.
So tell us, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, actually, I journal a lot. So for years I've been keeping journals about different things that happened in my life. And I realized at one point, I said, wow, I've got a lot of material here. Maybe I should, you know, just get it out of this journal and put it in a book. You know, so I just started doing that. I started noticing when I do my journals, I've always had a habit of, you know, how you write something and you'll look back over it a few months past and you'll see, you know, what happened and how you progressed. And so I just started to see certain patterns that were happening again. And I realized it can't just be me. You know, this has got to be happening to other people as well. So why not just come up with a book that would help encourage people to be more proactive, you know, instead of looking at everything after it's happened, after the fact. You know, let's try to get smarter. Let's try to get smarter and get smarter quicker so that we can, you know, we can move further in life.
Wow. You said something there. You said that this can't be just happening to me. It has to be happening to other people as well. And isn't it funny how we tend to isolate our thoughts and think that we're the only person who may be going through challenges or tests or trials. And
yes.
And the truth is it's something that we all experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You think it's all about us all the time. It's really not. But we forget that. We lose sight of that. Because when it's happening to you, I mean, that's the only person it's happening to is your world. You know, who else is there but you? So it helps to remind yourself, you're not the only one, you know.
Mm-hmm. You talked about journaling, you know, and how this became a book for you. How has journaling played a role? You know, people say that journaling is cathartic, and, you know, we're people, I think we believe that when things happen to us, bad things happen, when we're going through a tough time, it seems like it's never going to end. And when good times are happening in our lives, we feel like they're never going to end as well. So maybe talk about that experience of journaling.
Well, journaling is therapy for me. It just really is. It's a way for me. I've been writing really. I decided I wanted to write when I was 9. So it's just always been a thing that I do. And I found it not only just something I enjoy doing is putting words together. It is a form of therapy because it allows you to express yourself, how you're feeling, and I don't know, just I recommend it for everybody, really. You know, you don't really have to be a writer per se, but, you know, it's very freeing, frees you when you're able to express yourself on paper. And even if you, even if it's something painful, you may not want to keep it around and look at it again. You may want to throw it away, but, you know, just write it out. That's, just another way of speaking it out, actually. And if it's just you and you have nobody else to talk to, just write how you're feeling. Just write it down.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We're talking about Are You Passing Life's Test? And we're here with the author of 30 Days in September, How to Master Life's Test. Veronica, can you share with our listeners some of your most crucial tests and how and when you recognize them as such?
Wow. Okay, I'll talk about an illness that I had. I just woke up one morning out of the blue. I mean, everything was fine. Next thing, I'll go to bed. I wake up. I'm itching from head to toe. I could barely get out of bed. When I do, I just fall right down because my ankles are swollen. I mean, everything is going crazy. And up to this point, I've always been healthy. I've never been really sick other than a cold or anything like that. And so I was just very confused, like, what in the world is happening to me? And, of course, you know, at this point, I'm well-established, mature Christian. I know God can heal and all that. And so I'm saying, okay, you got to heal me, and I believe he will. Well, he did, but it took me about 8 months. He didn't just, you know, and you hear, sometimes you look at Benny Hinn and you see all these people being healed instantly, and, you know, they get the oil and the water and they're doing all this stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, then, you know, I'm going to get a miracle like these people. Well, no, I didn't get a miracle. I had to work through this, and what one of my friends told me which really helped is that God is more interested in changing you than he is in your circumstances. So, it means I had to work through it. I had to be changed. I had to be transformed. I had to be more compassionate about people, other people who may were sick, because I had never really known what that felt like, what that meant, really. So, of course, as I'm going through the process of being physically healed, I'm also going through the process of just being more appreciative about other people, more sensitive about what other people go through. So it was a transformative experience for me.
Mm. How did you get beyond it, and what did you recognize the value to be in overcoming that test?
Well, patience was a big thing. One day I realized, you know, I knew in my heart, you know, one day this would be over, but until it was over, I had to get up every day. I could not quit. I had to get up every day. And one day I realized, you know what, if I never, ever get better, I'm still going to have to get up every day and clean my house and take care of my kids and do what I do, you know? I could not stop. I could not use that as an excuse. You know, some people just, oh, I'm just sick, and then that's it. Well, that you can't retire from life. You still have to go on, and you still have to believe. And the fact that you get up every morning and take care of your kids and empty the trash and do whatever you do, that is your affirmation that you have faith in your future and that you believe, you know, God is a good God, and he's going to change your situation.
Mm. Wow. The tests oftentimes come in the form of pain.
Yes.
There's value in that, obviously, because otherwise we don't get the lesson. Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. Yes, absolutely.
It just seems as though we have to sometimes go through difficulties in order to recognize that we're not invincible. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the cards.
Right.
And so I guess there's some reliance on something greater than you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, no doubt about it. I know at one point I was hired for this job, and so I was very, very excited, and I felt that all the signs that I was seeing were a sure thing that I was going to get it, and I did. And then maybe about 3 days later, I went to the training and everything, and the orientation and all the hiring stuff that you go through. 3 days later, I'm supposed to actually start the job, and I get a call the day before saying, you know, well, you can't have this job anymore because we just closed this position. And so I'm just very, very confused. It's like, what happened, you know? But I realized that I don't know why. But I wasn't the only person that it happened to. And like I said before, I still have to get up every day and I still have to go on. And sometimes you figure things out later. And then, you know, sometimes you don't, but you still have to trust regardless. So sometimes you wonder, you don't always know why everything's happening. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is when you don't know why you're going through something, but you have to go on anyway. Because it's easy for people to justify and say, you know, this happened because of that. Well, this happened because of it. Well, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. And when you don't know, that's one of the hardest things in the world, but you still have to find somewhere, you know, it's going to be all right regardless. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to have all the answers for my life to work out.
You know, just it reminds me of just times in life where I've made mistakes or where I've failed. And, you know, you're sitting there with maybe egg on your face or you're feeling sad. You're pitying yourself. And I've come to realize through time that just because you fail, just because you have a mistake or something bad happens to you, that doesn't mean life is over.
No, it's not. Not at all.
And you can really miss the teaching if you spend too much time dwelling on the pain itself and not the lesson.
Exactly. Exactly. Because pain, that's just a symptom. Like, you know, a test, if you get a problem, you miss a problem in math, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That means, you know, you just missed the answer. You didn't get it right. That's all it means. So you have to go back and you have to rework it. I mean, I know that sounds simple and it's not, you know, that easy. But that is basically what it is. And sometimes you really need to look at it more objectively. And sometimes maybe you do need to look at it more simplistically so that you don't get so caught up in the drama of everything. Because there is a tomorrow. There is a future. This will be over. At some point it will. This too shall pass. It will. It always does when you really look at it. It really does.
So can you tell our listeners, is there like a time where there was a test going on and it was painful? I mean, it was maybe not necessarily painful to the body, but emotionally painful where you try to circumvent the pain and make yourself feel better or to get away from the pain, therefore stunning your growth and not really getting to the place that you were supposed to in the time frame that you were supposed to, therefore prolonging the lesson.
Okay. I would just say in general, I'm trying to think of something specific, but I would just say, yeah, in general, when things do happen and you, like I said, you're caught up in the drama or the pain of it and you're not really looking to the future or what's going to happen next or recognizing it that it is a lesson, that's where you tend to get stuck. You have to first recognize that it is a test. And once you do that, then you're able to see, okay, the question becomes, okay, now it's a test. Now what do I do? What do I need to pass? And instead of, why did he do this or what's wrong with them or why did I lose this or why, you know, when you start going through all the why questions, why does this ever happen to me, you know, you can't get the answer that you're looking for. It's like, this happened to me. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, I don't like it. But what is it teaching me? You know, what do I get to learn from this situation?
What tips would you give someone who, you know, they're going through something right now, but they haven't gotten to the point where they even recognize that it's a test? How can one begin to understand, like wait a second, what is it that is happening here? Is there something that I'm missing? Did I do something that put me here? Is there something for me to learn here?
Well, I think you just said it. Basically, just ask yourself some questions. They may not know that it's a test, but if you could just at least ask yourself a question, or maybe that one question will lead to another one, you know. And it may not be, what did I do wrong? It may be, like you said, well, why did this happen? Or what could I have done better? Or was there anything that happened, any clue that it may have happened that I missed? You know, that's a good one. Because sometimes, usually life will give you some type of clue, but we're usually not tuned in enough to really, you know, see that at first. You know, a lot of times if it's the end of a relationship, you say, oh, you know, well, I should have known this, you know. Well, maybe there was a red flag, or maybe it wasn't that visible, but there could have been something. It could have just been a feeling, and then we kind of shrug things off, you know, and just go on. because, you know, we're busy. But, you know, if you can ask yourself a question or two, even one or two questions, that can kind of get the whole process going, where you maybe at some point later you can say, oh, this was okay, this was a test, or this was an opportunity for me to grow, and I missed it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're always working with yourself. It takes time. It takes a lot of practice, you know. Another thing is, if you recognize a pattern, if something keeps happening again and again, the same thing, it may be a different person, a different time, but if it's the same thing that's happening again and again, then that's a big clue. You need to figure it out. If it's something that you don't like and it keeps happening, I think we were talking earlier about you're not going to getting the same results? If you keep doing the same thing you've done, you get what you've always got. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the results, you need to do something different. But again, it takes analysis. As a journalist, a person who journals, I also write down my dreams. I get clues from my dreams. I get clues from things that people say. Sometimes something will come on TV that will resonate with something that I've been thinking. I may read something, or sometimes something would just happen that's so dramatic, you know, you can't ignore it. But there's things happening every single day. You know, you're always getting information from a lot of different sources. If you just pay attention, you will find your way. You will see how things come together.
Yeah, you know, it's so ironic that we're talking about this subject, being that this is the hour of truth. You talk about how their patterns sometimes, you know, present themselves, and a lot of times we don't see the patterns because we're in denial or we're deceiving ourselves.
Yeah.
And it seems so ironic that this is the hour of truth. Maybe you can talk about, you know, the truth side of it, really getting to the heart of the issue.
So we're talking about denial, people just being in denial and not allowing themselves to know what the truth is.
Yeah, don't you think that in order to master a test, you have to get to the heart of the matter, the truth of the matter. The pain is going to be there until we get to the heart of the truth. I think that without dealing with the truth, you're going to deal with symptoms. You'll never get to the root problem.
Yes, that is very, very true. Yeah, because when the issues of life come, you're consumed by them a lot of times. You're consumed by the pain, the fear, the disappointment, the hurt, the anger, whatever. And these are symptoms. These are not they're kind of masks. That's what they are. So they masquerade and they kind of keep you all confused and you don't really, you're so much dealing with the emotions that you can't see the truth. You don't know what the truth is behind that. And sometimes you have to let that dissipate, give yourself a couple of days or however long it takes and for some of that to move out so that you can look at things a little bit more clearly. And sometimes it's a good idea not to take any action at all until some of that subsides. You know, you have to pray your way through it, basically, so that you can see clear enough to recognize, you know, that you need to do something. But sometimes you don't know what to do when it's just happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can talk to this point. How important has your faith been as you look back on the tests that you've endured and that you've eventually passed and how they played out in your life? How important has that faith been?
Well, it has been, number one, the most important thing. There's no way in the world I, you know, could be here with a clear mind if I, I don't see how people live without their faith. I don't see how they even get through a single day because there's a scripture that says pray without ceasing, and I really literally take that to heart because I pray all day, every day, all the time, continuously for every little thing, you know. I really do. So it's a defense. It's a shield. It's wisdom. It's protection. And at the same time, it's an offense because it gives you power and strength so that you can move ahead. So, yeah, faith is very, very important. Got to have it.
Wow. You know, I read on your website a statement where you said that age is not a guarantee of wisdom. Can you share what you mean by that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we have a chronological age, and then we have our age as far as growth. I mean, there could be a 20-year-old could have more wisdom than someone that's 30 because that person has not been growing and developing their spiritual side, or they haven't been growing in wisdom. They haven't been learning new things. They haven't been trying new things. They've just kind of been stuck in the same place over and over again and refusing to move and refusing to grow. Well, they're not that, they haven't grown. I mean, they may be older chronologically, but like I said, it's not a guarantee of wisdom. Wisdom comes with knowledge, and knowledge comes with your stepping out in faith and doing things and trying things and putting in the time that it takes to learn and being humble, you know, admitting your mistakes, all that. You know, there are some people that just are not willing to do that, so they're just stuck in their stuff. And they could be like 50, 60, they're still stuck in their stuff.
You know, I've often said that I see that as someone's tolerance for pain, their ability to endure pain. And there are some people who are really good at enduring pain. The only problem
Some people are too good.
and the only problem with that is that you don't get the lesson from the test. I mean, it just hurts. But God called the Israelites in the Old Testament stiff-necked. They just didn't want to be obedient. They just endured pain like nobody's business, and it kept them from, you know, really learning and stepping into the fullness of life.
Well, you really said something. You really touched something. Yeah, I know people. I'm sure we all know people like that. They're so strong, and they just endure. But it's like some of it is so needless, you know, when they can just it could be changed. They didn't just have to endure the pain. They could get the lessons, like you said, because that's the whole point. You know, it's not just about hurting and being, you know, proving how strong you are. It's about learning the lesson. So you can move on and get off that mountain. And not only that, because you need to get off the mountain so that you can be a light and help someone else to get off their mountain, you know? Mm. As long as you're stuck where you are, you can't help anybody else. We can say, oh, you're so strong. Well, okay, well, yeah, but he's pain. He's in pain. He's suffering. He's not happy.
It just that reminds me of just like parenting. I'm a father, and I have a 6-year-old daughter, and I look at her, and it's my job as a father to make sure that she's prepared. But sometimes that means discipline, and sometimes that means, you know, sending you to your room. Sometimes that means, you know, taking things away. Discipline is part of the test and part of the process of pain, and making sure that your children don't miss the tests along the way, because if I don't teach my daughter, the world is going to teach her, and they're not going to be as nice as I would.
You got that right. You're so right. You know, like the children of Israel, they had to travel in the promised land. They had to go the scenic route because, you know, they just refused to be obedient, you know, so that's why it took them so long to get where they had to go. And, like, relating back to my illness, I never would have reached the level of patience and trust that I have now had the sickness been over in a week or two. So, you know, by the end of the 8-month battle, I was much more appreciative of good health, much more patient, much more, you know, just aware of how God works and just having to trust him and rely on him by day because there's nothing else I could do. I couldn't will myself to be better. I mean, I could take certain precautions and listen to what the doctor said or what have you, but there was a part that only he could do, you know? So I had to be obedient to that.
Why do you think people don't recognize when they're being tested?
I don't think it's taught enough, actually. I don't think it's taught in that way, per se. You know, it's kind of like it's after the fact. It's like, okay, I've suffered for 9 years. Okay, what did I learn? You know, I really think it should be taught. I think if we could get the idea in the beginning that you're going to go through this, this is going to happen, you know, so be aware. If we had that kind of education, I think that we would be more aware, so it wouldn't be so devastating, and we wouldn't spend so much time wandering around in the wilderness, you know. I think that's one of the reasons I really enjoy Bishop T.D. Jakes' teaching, because that's how he preaches a lot of times. He'll say, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know, people talk about, you know, oh, God opening doors, but actually he closes more than he opens, and I really believe that. And so he's kind of preparing you. Now, this is not going to be a picnic. You know, this is, you're going to go through some stuff. This is the way it is. But if you can be aware of it, you'll recognize it, you know, and then you'll be in a much stronger position to make some changes, make some internal changes, see where you need to grow, or maybe you need to get out of the environment, or maybe you need to get around a different group of people, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's not always dramatic. Sometimes it could just be a very simple change. It doesn't always have to be, you know, life beating you upside the head before you can get it.
I found in my own experience that, especially in the day and times that we live in, people get caught in the busyness of life, and we're so busy we don't have time to be in pain. We got to keep moving because the world doesn't wait on us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we don't have a lot of time to process what happens. You know, we just kind of get up in the morning, we get off in the traffic, somebody gets on our nerves, someone cuts us in traffic, you know, whatever. We go get our coffee, somebody shortchanges. I mean, you know, just little bitty things just happen, you know, this and that and the other. And we just move on, come home, and then, you know, it's a new day, basically. So you're right, we don't have a lot of time to process that. That's why it's really important to just stay in tune and get into prayer and get quiet and listening to some good music or whatever it is, whatever you do to relax yourself. You have to unwind and de-stress yourself because it just piles on. And that's why a lot of people end up with this, you know, a lot of illnesses, because they never take the time to really release. You have to release that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You
really
do.
You know, it's funny because I've said before, God created us for more than simply waking up, washing our face, brushing our teeth, having breakfast, getting the kids off to school, going to work all day, coming home, having dinner, spending time with our family, going to sleep, maybe dreaming a little bit. That's Monday. Then you wake up again, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you have breakfast, you get the kids off to school, you go to work all day, you come home, have dinner, spend a little time with your family, go to sleep, maybe dream a little. That's Tuesday. You do that 5 days a week, and before you know it, you're stuck in a cycle, in a rut. You know, you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Exactly. Exactly. Every day, it's kind of like that movie Groundhog Day. Every day is the same, right? You just start it over. You could keep on going, you know, it's another day, but, you know, another day on the calendar, but I'm doing the same old stuff I've always done. Yeah, that's
isn't
the way
that
it is.
Why the tests are so important, though, because if you get leave it up to us, and we'll probably get stuck in that cycle. But pain kind of wakes us up and says, look, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to move from here. You've gotten comfortable. I've called you for more than this.
That's right. That is so right. Yes, I've called you for more, or it's the wrong turn or the wrong time or the wrong person or something is not right. But, you know, sometimes God just leads us out very gently, and then sometimes he just shakes us up. Sometimes when he closes the door, he just slams it in our face, you know. So I guess it depends on what we have to learn and how soon we have to learn it. But you're right. That's how we know that we're alive, and that's how we know that it's time to grow and it's time to change. And it's not always nice the way everything happens. You know, sometimes it can be very abrupt. But if that's what he needs to do to get our attention, then that's what he's going to do. And so all we should really say at that point is thank you. Now I know, you know, people will say, well, this person doesn't love me. Well, now you know, okay? Just be grateful.
Yeah,
say thank you very much.
Exactly. I mean, how many times have we been in situations where we've been tested and let some time pass between the actual testing and the lesson that you got, and you just say, Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it was hard while going through it, but it taught me so much. It made me who I am.
Yes, yes. And don't trade that. Don't try to go back and don't lament what happened, you know. It's okay. It doesn't have to be rosy. You know, sometimes when we look back on things, you know, we'll think that, oh, they were so much better. Well, maybe not really, but you just thought they were. So it's okay. It's okay, yeah, to say thank you is a good word. Thank him in all things, in all seasons, regardless. Even if you don't understand it, thank him anyway.
That's good. How can people get more in tune, I mean, more present in life and begin to see their challenges or their tests as opportunities to go to the next level? It's so hard in the middle of it, but do you have any tips that maybe the listeners can take away and say, you know, how can I look at this, just be present right here and right now and see that this may be a breakthrough opportunity for me?
Well, sometimes you just have to be present. You could just start. One thing I used to do, and I probably still should sometimes, I practice being present. I just practice, even if it's just for 5 minutes, just I'm in the room, you know, this is what the walls look like, this is the temperature, I notice myself breathing, I notice just myself being here, you know, without any distractions, without anything about thinking about, okay, what do I need to do like in 2 or 3 minutes, you know, just put all that out of your mind, just start by being present. That's a big one right there. And then just kind of think about what you want to do. You know, what do you want to do in the future? And compare that to what you're doing now. I mean, is what I'm doing now, is that jiving with what I want to do? Is there a disconnect? If I keep doing this, am I going to get to where I want to go? So, you know, getting out your wish list, or you could do a vision board, you know, cutting out pictures of things that you want to see happen. You need a vision or a plan. The Bible says write the vision and make it plain and put it where people can see it. Put it where you can see it. You need to see where you're going. You need to see where you want to go. And, I mean, visually, not just in your head, you really need to see it. So that helps. That helps. So that kind of keeps you on track. And if things start happening and that are not, you know, in line with what your vision is, then that's your opportunity to take a look at that and say, okay, well, maybe, you know, I need to make some adjustments here. And then sometimes it's just a matter of just being tested to see, do you really want what you want? How bad do you want what you say you want? Are you willing to keep moving? Are you willing to keep going forward? Are you willing to be persistent? You know, are you willing to put your time and your money and your energy into what you say you want? Or are you just saying it to just hear yourself say it? How committed are you?
It's great. That actually leads me into my next question. And, you know, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Randy Pausch. He was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and he was the author of the book, The Last Lecture, and he died from pancreatic cancer. And he wrote that brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something. You know, how are those brick walls analogous to those tests?
You know, they're the things that they challenge you. They challenge you to be your best. They challenge you to dig deep, because we all have more in us than we're expressing, all of us. So it challenges you to dig deep and kind of pull out your potential that has always been there. And you need that potential in order to pass these tests. So it's just like a stimulus. Let's go, okay, well, I've got this problem. I've got this challenge. Okay, this test is here. Okay, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to dig deep, and I'm going to pull out more patience. I'm going to pull out more understanding. I'm going to pull out some ideas that I've had that I haven't done anything about. You know, it's time to get the music out. There's a saying that this just don't die with your music within you. So it's time to play your song. People are waiting for you to write that book, play that song, start that business, whatever you have within you to do. People are waiting for you to do that. And then when you come to that brick wall, it's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's right here. How high are you willing to jump over that wall? what are you willing to pull out? Do you have a way that you can leverage yourself that will allow you to jump over this wall? And the answer to that is yes, yes, yes. You absolutely do have something within you that is going to allow you to do that. You do. You have to believe.
You
have to believe that it's there. You have to believe that what you need to overcome that challenge is there. And you can feel the power. Even if you don't think there's any power, you can actually, you can feel it. If you really focus on whatever you need, it is there. It is absolutely there. But, you know, sometimes we just, you know, if we don't see it or feel it right away, we think it doesn't exist. But that's not the truth. It's invisible substance.
Yeah. You said that it challenges us to dig deep, that we all have more in us. And it just made me think about how when the minute that we feel like we're under pressure or there's like a test that we're enduring, we begin to cry. It starts crying because now we're uncomfortable. And we don't want to be uncomfortable, but we all know that our greatest destiny is just on the other side of the discomfort.
Yes.
But we don't. Here's a point too. I've heard this and it's just such a great example. But you ask any believer, any Christian, anyone who believes in God, do they want to go to heaven? And they say yes. The problem is they just don't want to die to get there.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to have to do anything. We don't have to be out of our comfort zone. You know, we don't want to suffer. We just want stuff. You know, that's all. We just give me my stuff. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go through anything. I just want it, and I want it now, because that's just how we are. But, yeah, you're right about that. We have to be willing to get out of the comfort zone. One thing that my pastor says, Jesus was willing to be interrupted. See, we don't want to be interrupted either. We don't want to have to take the time and help somebody and stop what we're doing and, you know, do something else. We want everything lined up, all our little ducks in a row, and we don't want anything to rock the boat. But, you know, life is messy. Life is not ducks in a row. It's not. So I think being flexible really, really helps, being flexible and being willing to be uncomfortable, being willing to be interrupted, being willing to change your plans if they're not working, or being willing to change your plans to help somebody else, you know. You just really have to open your heart.
Wow.
It's all about opening your heart.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I honestly, when you say open your heart, like, we're not here to suffer. I have a hard time believing that God has a sick sense of humor like that. We're not here to suffer. Although
no.
That suffering is part of it, though. It's how we recognize the difference between what's good and what's not good. Because if life was all, you know, laughs and smiles, you know, we'd probably never really accomplish much.
You got that right. Yeah. Why would we? You know, why should we? If everything is falling in our lap, you know, where's the incentive?
Let me ask you this question, Veronica. How much of enduring and transcending tests is a matter of just having the proper perspective?
Perspective is everything. It really is, because it's going to help you to see further, and it's going to give you kind of leverage in your thinking that will allow you to expand your vision. So it's very important. Perspective is very, very important. It validates you, and it helps you to focus on where you need to go and what it is that you're trying to do.
You know, that just made me think that there's two sides to everything. I mean, mm-hmm. when we're going through pain or testing, we just see the hurt. We don't necessarily focus on, you know, what is the other side of this, because there's some principles, some laws, like laws of gravity, mm-hmm. or the law that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And it just reminds me of how Dr. Wayne Dyer had a quote. He said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It's just perspective.
Very, very true.
You can see it as painful or as a test. And look, I get that. It hurts when you're going through it. But you can also say, man, if I can just see the silver lining.
Mm-hmm. There's a book called Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth. I really love that book. And they talk about a little girl. She's looking out the window, and her puppy got hit, ran over in the street. So she was, you know, just hysterical. She was crying, you know. And her dad came, and then he took her to another side of the house, and she looked out of this other window, and she was she saw, like, the flowers blooming, and she had helped to plant those flowers. And so that was just a whole different perspective. And then in a little while, she had stopped crying, and she was so excited about seeing her flowers grow. And her father said, you see there, you were looking out of the wrong window. And I think that's what perspective brings. Sometimes we're just looking out of the wrong window.
Yeah, that's great. What would you tell a listener who is experiencing tremendous pain or grief or loss, struggle, setbacks personally, professionally, financially, and is trying to make sense of it all?
I would just tell that person to take a very deep breath. And sometimes in the beginning, that's all you can do is just take a deep, just breathe, you know. Breathe and kind of just in and out, get through it. And again, write a new vision for yourself. Come back to your perspective. Even though something may not have worked out the way you wanted it to, what was it that you wanted originally? And just come back to that. And don't give up on whatever it is that you had a vision and you had a reason for going for whatever you were trying to accomplish. So if it didn't work out for whatever reason, or if there's the grief, you know, you have to think about the good parts of it, you know. It's just hard. I really wish I could give you a better formula for that. It's just breathing, taking it one day at a time, and just remembering whatever your vision was and getting help. You know, you don't want to be alone. I think that's a really key. A lot of people bear so much alone. And when you're alone, that's when the enemy has a chance to just kind of move in on you. And you need to have their strength in numbers. You need to have people that you can talk to and support you and give you validation, you know. But that's, having a community is very, very important. I think once you can breathe and once you have a community and a support system, you can begin to get your footing back and get your vision back and get back to whatever it is that you had set out to do before. Or you can get over the hurt of the pain or whatever that is, the struggles. It's not easy. It's not easy. But then, you know, it was never promised that it would be easy, too. But sometimes we have illusions, too, and you have to come to grips with reality. You know, sometimes we think it was going to be easy or it should be, or that's how it was in the movies. But, you know, not all the time. Sometimes you have to just come to reality, and sometimes that causes you grief when you had one vision of something and you see that it's something else and it's totally different. So you have to come back to what's real. And that takes a minute for some people. You have to come down off of that that fantasy world you were in.
That's good. Tell us what you've had to overcome in order to write this book.
I had to overcome my sense of not wanting to share. You know, not wanting people to know my business, not wanting people to, you know who I am, because most of my life I've been the journalist and the PR person. I've been the person on the other side who's asking all the questions, and now I'm forced to answer the questions. So that was uncomfortable. Just getting out of my comfort zone was the biggest thing I had to overcome. And just realizing that it's not about me. You know, I put up quite a fight in the beginning. I was like, Lord, I don't want to write this book because, you know, then everybody's going to know everything. And, you know, he just reminded me, it is not about me. I mean, I wrote it, but it's not about me. It's about what people can benefit from. It's about me telling my story so other people can benefit. It's about them, you know, and it's about him and his glory. It's not about me. I'm just a vehicle. I'm an instrument. And basically, I want to be a part of this situation and be blessed as well, or not. And if I didn't write this book, you know, someone else would. So I decided, you know, I think I want to be a part of that. So I need to overcome some of the my inhibitions and put it out there. You know, there you go.
Yeah, I want to add to that as well. I mean, I firmly believe that each of us has a uniqueness, and we've been placed here for a unique purpose. And, you know, you talk about writing your book. There are people who are, they need it, they're waiting on it, and they'll never really step into their God-given, you know, destiny until you're obedient. See, because of the blessing is just on the other side of the obedience. And, you know, we didn't get here by ourselves. Anyone who's listening to this, and, you know, whether it be live, replay, or podcast, We didn't get here by ourselves. There have been generations upon generations of people who have walked this earth, and because of that, we arrived here. Now, you know, how we got here, you know, whether it was painful or whatever, I mean, it's almost it's almost irrelevant. But what I'm trying to say is that there are people who just won't live in the fullness of the life that's promised to them because if you didn't write this book and you didn't show up, they wouldn't have gotten the memo, the message.
Right, right. Yeah, that's something that we all of us are born to do something. You know, we have limited time to do it, so we just need to get on with it. And it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the best thing ever, but we need to do the best we can and get on with it. And, you know, God, he honors effort. He really does.
You know, there are so many people who will listen to this, you know, or read your book and have that aha moment. What do you want people to learn, to glean from reading your book?
I want them to glean the importance of paying attention, the importance of tuning into their world and picking up the clues, the importance of just raising their level of awareness, you know, and not just settling in life or taking things, you know, figuring out, well, it's always been this way, so it's always going to be that way, and just realizing there's so much more, and if they would just put more effort into this awareness and developing themselves, you know, they could get a lot more out. You get in what you put out. I mean, you get... Whatever you put into something, yeah, you get out of it more. So that would be it. I just want people to be aware, wake up and tune in, and they'll discover a lot of things that they haven't discovered before. Mainly, they'll get off the merry-go-round. They'll be ready to graduate because God has so much more for us. And there are things we cannot receive now until we get to a level where we can graduate and move on to, you know, a bigger world. There's certain awareness that we have before he will entrust us with bigger things. And I just want everyone to succeed and reach their fullest potential in whatever area of life that they, you know, that they're trying to achieve.
That's great. Well, we've got about a little less than 5 minutes. But before we end the show, you have a free gift you'd like to get into the hands of two lucky listeners. Where can they email you, the first two listeners, to get this free gift? And maybe you can share what that free gift is.
Sure. Well, I'm offering two free downloads of my book. It is an e-book, 30 Days in September. And they can email me at 30daysbook@gmail.com. And the first two that email me there will get a download sent to them. And, you know, I can't wait to do it. I'm excited, and I hope that, you know, that they enjoy it. I'm sure they'll get something from it. So, it's my pleasure and my honor to do that. I would love to do that. So the first two listeners will get a free download of my book.
Well, thank you for doing that. Can you tell our listeners where they can get more information on your book, and for those people who aren't part of the two lucky listeners, how they can purchase a copy?
Sure. Yeah, actually, it's being sold on Amazon.com. If you could type in my name, Veronica Mackey, M-A-C-K-E-Y, Veronica, V-E-R-O-N-I-C-A. And also on my website, 30 Day September, that's 30daysseptember.com. And also there are sample chapters on the website as well. So any of those ways, you can get in touch and leave a message on my website if you want me to contact you. I'll be happy to do that.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'd like to thank you, Verona, for joining me today. It was really great having you on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I'm hoping that your listeners will stay in touch, because I would love to just talk about more things if they need any help with any situations for its testing, or if they just want to make a comment about the book. I'm definitely interested in hearing what they have to say.
Great, great. Well, many blessings to you, Veronica.
Same to you, Frank.
Thomas.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm Frank Thomas on the All New Hour of Truth with Coach FT on the Creating Calm Network on Blog Talk Radio. You can connect with me on my Facebook page at facebook.com/CoachFT or on Twitter at twitter.com/CoachFT, as well as my personal website, CoachFT.com. If you want more information about the Creating Calm Network, please go to www.creatingcalmnetwork.com. Join me next Sunday at 3 p.m. as I bring new stories, new hope, new truth. You've been listening to the Hour of Truth with Coach FT. Until next week, God bless you. Thanks for listening.
I did it for you. And if you ask who I've written this to, that's right, y'all, I did it for you. I did it for you. I opened up and shared my life so that you can see we all need Christ. I did it for you. If you can understand my pain, maybe you can see we all need change. I did it for you. Gave you my life, my pain, my hurt, man, I hope this works. I did it for you. Since Christ died for sin, I'll never be the same.